Yes, sir, yeah. I'm connected to the Wi-Fi. Yeah, I was connected earlier. I don't know what happened to it. Okay. So that's our world today. It's all technical, and it fails so much. So what I want to talk to you about today, and I've talked before about this, and two things spurred this on. One, I had a good friend of mine say that we're living too big nowadays. We're just living too big. We're putting too big of a footprint in this world, and we need to slow down. And a friend that said that to me, I felt like saying something in response, but I didn't, because he has a lot of toys, a lot of big toys, and he puts a huge, if you want to say, carbon footprint, and that's what he's talking about in this world. And so that, and we went to Skyline Drive and took my two granddaughters, Brooklyn and Coral. And it's beautiful. I mean, you get up there and you're like close to 4,000 feet up. We got on a rock cliff, and it's just to stand there and look out and enjoy God's creation. And I bring this lesson to you because that friend of mine is supposed to be a Christian. And I understand that we want to take care of what God has given to us, but then I want to look at some passages because I think this challenges our faith, because sometimes we hold on to this world so much that we get ourselves in a spot where it's hard to let go. And we want to cling to things in this world. And it's good to have things in this world. God gave us things to enjoy. It's a blessing from God. But we can't hold on to things so tight that we're not willing to let go, because that causes our faith to waver. And a lot of people fall into that category. And so I want to challenge you while we're going through some things. I've got some stats. I try not to do too many stats. And so we're going to compare some things with what God has given us. And then I want you to think about this. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, that God created things by supernatural means. He spoke things into existence. I don't understand that. I can read those words and I can try to grasp that. It's often said that he took nothing and he created things. What is nothing? I can say that word, I can think about that word, but I cannot grasp that word. I've never been around nothing. We're physical beings. What is nothing? I don't even understand how God existed before there was anything. So my finite mind does not understand his infinite wisdom, his infinite power. I just can't grasp it. And so this is a challenge to all of our faiths. Where are we putting our faith? Are we trusting in God? Or are we trusting in this world? And I hope this helps us to understand some things about God's creation. If you would turn to Genesis chapter 1, we're not going to read all of Genesis. I want to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and morning, one day. So basically, God created time. He created light. He created darkness. And he created time. And we're enslaved to time in this world, aren't we? I rushed around this morning trying to get things done so I could get here early to test everything out to make sure it would run right. I just couldn't get the time this morning. I didn't have enough time. And so we're enslaved to time, if you would, in this world. But there's something better waiting for us than this world. There's a place where time is not measured. We can say the word eternity also, but we can't grasp it. What is eternity? We can say the words, but it's so hard to grasp. And so why do we cling to time so much in this world? If you would, look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 28. God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. God said, you be fruitful, you multiply, you fill this creation and you subdue it. Many Christians are afraid to have children nowadays. I've talked to some Christians about it. What this world needs is for us as Christians to have more children and be lights to this world. Don't worry about how populated this world is. We're going to look at some stats. Don't you worry about that. God has things in his control. You be fruitful, you multiply, you subdue this world. That's what he says. That word subdue means tread down, conquer. He created this world for us. Subdue it. Look at Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. We're going to talk more about this at the end of the lesson. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. All things he has given man. But yet this text is alluding to somebody else, isn't it? And we're going to talk later about that. This text is alluding to the Son of God. He has given all things into his power, if you would. Are we destroying the earth? God set the day for that, didn't he? We're not going to destroy this earth. God is going to destroy this earth. In 2 Peter, we won't take time to read that, verse chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says there's going to be a day when God comes back and this earth is going to be burned up. We will not destroy this earth. God's going to do that. Think about the flood. God created the heavens and the earth, and what did God do to the earth? Because of the wickedness of man, he destroyed the earth. He flooded the earth. What did the earth look like before he flooded it? I don't know. But he destroyed the earth, and what are we on now? We're on the very thing that he destroyed, aren't we? God, with his supernatural powers, can do anything. And we have to wrap our minds around that. This world doesn't depend on us. We have to depend on God. That's the earth we know today. That's a NASA photo. It's absolutely gorgeous. I would love to go up into space and be able to look at that view. To me, that's a view that God sees. The earth is huge. It is plentiful. And we're going to talk about some stats about the earth. Look at Psalm verse 70, chapter 78. We're going to start in verse 19a and read through verse 33. Speaking about God's people in the wilderness, it says, "Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? God delivered his people from bondage. He takes them out into the wilderness, but they did not have the faith that they needed to have to depend on God to know that he would meet their needs. They lacked that faith. But look what God had done for them in the wilderness. Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out and streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard and was full of wrath. And fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also mounted against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation, his deliverance. God would bring them through that wilderness. He would provide for them the meat, the water, the food that they needed to go through the wilderness. But they did not believe in God that he could deliver them through that. And they did not trust in his salvation, verse 23. Yet he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down manna upon them to eat and gave them food from heaven." That is a supernatural thing that God had done. I don't know what manna is. The word means, what is it? Exactly what is it? We don't know. But by a supernatural means, God provided food from heaven. Your translations may say that it's food from angels. It's food for angels. But it's food for strength. I think that's what the real translation means. It had given the Israelites strength in the wilderness. He provided food for them by a supernatural means. Verse 25, "Man did eat the bread of angels or strength, and he sent them food in abundance. He caused the east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power he directed the south wind. When he rained meat upon them like the dust, even winged fowl like the sand of the seas. Then he let them fall into the midst of their camp, round about their dwellings. So they ate and were all filled, and their desire he gave to them. Before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was still in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them and killed some of their stoutest ones and subdued the choice men of Israel. In spite of all this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wonderful works." In John chapter 6, when the people had come to Jesus and wanted to be fed, and they said, "God had given us manna from heaven. Would you give this to us too?" And Jesus says, "There is a greater manna from heaven." And you're looking at them. The physical things, we die. When we eat, we just die. But the spiritual things are so much more vital. He said, "You need the spiritual things." God continues to feed and take care of us, but we have to think about the spiritual things. Seventy-1% of water is on the earth. It's 139,700,000 square miles of water on the earth. 2.5% of fresh water is on the earth. 1% of that is in glaciers and polar ice caps. 29% of the earth is land. I'm trying to read my numbers. I've got to get new glasses. That's 57,939,900 square miles of land. If you go through the center of the top of the earth, through the bottom, it's 8,000 miles through that. And these are some stats I want you to think about, because God is taking care of us. We're not going to destroy this earth. We are not going to destroy it. Right there, that little dot on the map of the United States, that's Lake Superior. The surface area of that lake is 31,700 square miles. Think about that. That's one lake, 31,700 square miles. It's an average of 83 feet deep. There's Lake Michigan. That's 22,000 square miles, 923 deep. This is fresh water. Lake Huron, 23,000 square miles, 195 deep. And here is Lake Erie. It's 9,910 miles. And Lake Ontario, 7,322 miles. Trying to read that, I can't see it. So I want to make this point. In between those two lakes, Lake Erie and Lake Ontario, do you know what's there? The Niagara River. And the Niagara Falls, have you ever been there to look at the falls? It's absolutely stunning. It's unbelievable. I think back in the 90s, it was a big deal about we're running out of fresh water. We're not running out of fresh water. We can calculate how much water we have on the surface of this planet, but what's underneath? Do you remember God opened the fountains of the deep to flood this planet? We have no concept of what God has in this creation. We absolutely don't. We look at things and we can measure certain things. There's a lot of things we don't have any grasp of what God has created. So think about this. There's Niagara Falls. How much water do you suppose goes over that falls every second? I don't know how they measure this. I'm not sure if it's even right. But I'm guessing it's probably close. So the Great Lakes contain 21% of the world's surface freshwater supply. 21% of that 3.5%, including the ice caps. So that's 85,000 cubic feet of water flows over Niagara Falls every second. 85,000 cubic feet. They say that can fill an average house, 5.3 average houses, every second full of water. If you've ever been to my house, I think I have an average size house. So you take five of those houses, every second he can fill water in those houses. Niagara Falls can fill those houses with water. Does that kind of give you a concept of what we have that God has blessed us with as far as creation? That's a lot of water. I can't even grasp that. Every second it can fill five houses full of water. And there's other lakes on this earth. There's other freshwater lakes. I had a whole list of them. We are abundantly supplied with fresh water. When we were up Skyline Drive, it's amazing to look at the trees. It's beautiful. When I was younger, I used to worry about us cutting down all the trees. I didn't have any concept of what God had created. Until a person come up to me and he told me, he said, "Don, trees are a renewable resource. And God made it that way." I've cut down on my property I'm close to 30 trees cutting down since I lived there in 92. Not because I wanted to, but because they died off, got disease. But do you know what happens when I cut those trees down? For some reason, I've got new ones starting. I didn't even plant them. I came home the other day, there's a squirrel in the yard. I pulled up my truck and I watched him. And he had an acorn in his mouth. And you know what he did? He dug him a nice little hole in the yard. He found him a spot, dropped that acorn in there, and he covered it over with his little feet, and he took off. We don't think about those things, do us? Do you not know why your lawn doesn't grow trees? Because you mow it. You mow them down. I cleaned up leaves in my yard. You know the things we call them helicopters? They spin down from the trees. Thousands of them in my yard, in my grass. They were all over the place. God is supplying things for us every day. He created by supernatural means, and he said in order the natural means. We're not going to run out of trees. It's estimated the world contains 3 trillion trees, 30% of the planet's surface. And people worry about cutting a tree down? Are you kidding me? So there's 3 things I want you to think about. The natural creation, the new land and landscapes. There's new land and landscapes every day. You just think about this. I want you to think deeply about this. There's new land, there's new landscapes, and there's new life every day. Bertina's going to have another grandson. That's new life. That's coming by natural means. But yet there's new landscapes being created every day. Got on a world population clock. You ought to Google this and check it out. It's absolutely fascinating. I don't know how they figure it, but they figure it with deaths. They calculate how many people died that day, and it's clicking off every day. How many people were born, and you get all the stats. So as of 7:55 a.m. this morning, there are 7,820,905,500 people on this earth. That was this morning. They estimated the population by 2050 would be 9,735,033,990 people. And brethren, when you look at the stats I've got, we haven't even begun to populate this earth. I'm serious. We haven't even begun to populate this earth. Here's a landmass by country. The white is the actual landmass of each country, and the yellow in those circles, they're oval, they should be round. I had to get it to fit my PowerPoint. So I want to just read some of these to you. There's Russia. 6,563,736 square miles. Their population, 141,882,000 people. That's what the population, now that's not counting buildings and all, I understand that. That's not counting a building and all, but that's the landmass that they have. There's Canada. There's 3,822,411 square miles. They've got 33,819,000 people. Here we are in the United States. 3,783,801 square miles. Our population, 307,760,000. And we haven't even begun to touch the land in the United States. We have land that hasn't even been filled. It's like 40%, 47% landmass that we haven't filled yet. And just in the United States. Just think about that. Just in the United States. And here's some other countries. We won't take time to go through that. There's China. Look at that example. China and India, they have more people than any other countries. They have 3,474,919 square miles of land. So they have 1,333,673,000 people. And that's what the landmass looks like compared to the people. We've got plenty of room. And yet there's new things happening on this earth. Here's a video. This is in the South Pacific. There's a volcano underneath the South Pacific, and they caught this on video, the eruption, and it's actually trying to create an island, if you would. This volcano was erupting. Now, this island didn't stay there. It didn't come up and produce. What happens is you get a lot of volcanic islands, and what happens? They come out of the water, the waves beat against them, and it tears them down. But the earth is doing its thing, if for lack of better words. God has set these things in order, and there's things happening on this earth all the time. So that's in the South Pacific. So that island did not form, and some of these videos go a little bit long, so I'm going to let that one run out. So in North Carolina, something had happened. The people woke up and there was something new. And they couldn't believe it. So I'll show you that in a second. So I think that's a NASA video. I want to give them the, let you know that that's what it was. So the people woke up in North Carolina, the Outer Banks. This is called Shelley Island. So there was a storm, and so the two storms came together and pushed up this island. It's actually a sand island. It's called Shelley Island because when they got on it, there were so many shells from the sea on that island, so they named it Shelley Island. It's a mile long, and it was a football field wide at its widest point. Now, it's been swept away by other storms when it was formed, so it's gone. But we're forming new land in different places. Mike, you all know what island this is. You live there. The Hawaiian Islands. Guess what? They're constantly forming. That lava falls over into the sea, it cools, it builds, you know what I mean? Those islands are growing constantly. And so the world's still forming, it's still growing. This is NASA footage. They couldn't believe this island. You'll have to Google it and look at it. It's pretty cool. So this isn't a volcanic ash or whatever you want to call it that formed this island. It actually spewed up, and it's actually mud from under the sea. And so it's called the Hanga Tonga Island. And so it's pretty amazing. It's an amazing island. Now, they videotaped this from space, NASA did, and you can see the island. They're watching it to see if it's going to erode away. That island has stayed there. It's still there to this day. I think it was, see what year that island popped up. That was in 2017, I believe. And you can see the dates while they're filming this island. Now, you can Google this island. It's teeming with wildlife right now. They couldn't understand where the flowers came from. There's some beautiful flowers that are growing on the beaches. Where did they come from? Well, the birds. Where do you think they came from? God does things, you know what I mean? Birds carry seeds, they drop seeds. Squirrels carry nuts, they drop nuts. God has did a marvelous thing with his creation. But there's a creation I want to talk about to you. It's a new creature creation, if you would. I want you to look at that picture. I know it's a little fuzzy. That's us. That's really what God is concerned about. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed us to this word of reconciliation. Therefore, you are new creatures in Christ. There is a dynamic change in our lives that takes place if we would only let God change us. That's what we need to do. Think about the spiritual things. He's given us the physical, but there are so many deep things in the spiritual things. Look at Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That transformation word, it means like he's taken us out of one country and put us into another country. So he's taken us, if you would, from one kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of sin, a kingdom of ignorance, a kingdom of misery. He's taken us out of that kingdom, and he's put us into a kingdom of light, a kingdom of holiness, a kingdom of knowledge, and a kingdom of happiness. Why are so many Christians not happy? God has blessed us with so many things. Don't worry about this world. God's taking care of us. This world is not going to perish until he says it's time. Don't get so entrenched in the world. We are to be happy people. We've been transferred out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. We have the knowledge. We have the Bible to set things right for us. I want you to think about this. There's 7,692,643,400 opportunities to show our overflowing gratitude for what God has done for us. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 13. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. What do we do with the faith that we have? Do we take it out to others? Do we show our overflowing gratitude of what God has done for us? He rescued us out of a kingdom of darkness and transferred us into his kingdom of light. We have plenty of opportunities out there, and they're growing each and every day. Go home and click on that world clock and see how many opportunities. It's like this. Someone's born just like this. That's how it's clicking off. It's absolutely amazing. And we haven't even begun to fill this earth. There's plenty of opportunities out there. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth with all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all men, and the heavenly hosts bow down before you. One more verse so I can bring this home for you. This world isn't spinning out of control. It's under the power of one person right now, and that is Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And listen to this verse. I want you to just to take this and think about it. What he says in this next verse. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And what that means in this present state and in the future state, the very existence, the order, the arrangements that are in this creation are held together by Jesus Christ. That's now, and that's going to be in the future. He's not up there watching us destroy this planet. I want you to think about that. Do you think, as Christians, that he stopped doing miraculous things, supernatural things? Can you think of some verses, like the manna I had given to you? What about Jesus raising the dead? That's a supernatural thing. That's not a natural thing for someone to be in the grave and Jesus raise him from the grave, Lazarus. God can do things that we, if we would only have the faith to recognize that he's in control. He's taking care of us, brethren. Don't let the world get your mind so twisted up in these things, these fires out in California, fires in Australia. God's got things under control. He's not sitting back letting us destroy things. He's in control. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it is the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and all that fullness that dwells in him. If you'll drop over to verse 9 of chapter 2, that's the fullness of deity. That's the fullness of Godhead. In other words, God is in charge. He's filled Jesus with all this fullness. He's watching over everything. I hope this helps. We're getting bombarded every day by news media that we're destroying this earth. We're fulfilling God's commandments. We're multiplying and subduing what God has created. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian. If you're on Zoom and you want to become a Christian, you can make a call. You can send a note out to whoever's doing the Zoom. Is that Samuel? Yes, you can text Samuel and let him know your wishes. You can call one of us. If you're in the audience and you want to become a Christian, you can do that today. God has provided the means, the death of his son. He can transform you from this world of darkness into his kingdom of light. Won't you respond while we sing the song of invitation?